I believe the Lord is pleased that we made the decision to come this morning and gather. To gather in His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. The psalmist said, I will bless you, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving, and with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. Hallelujah. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless you, O Lord. Hallelujah. And he spoke to himself and he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You ever talk to yourself? Quite often, yeah. Now you have people walking down the street and they're talking on their phone and you don't know who they're talking to sometimes. You're like, oh, okay, they're speaking on their phone. Yeah. But we talk to ourselves, don't we? Sometimes not so nicely, too. But we need to stop that, right? But he commanded himself. He took charge of himself. We have been given responsibility over what we do in this body. And so we choose to serve the Lord. We choose to bless the Lord. We choose to give praise, to give thanks to him. Amen? We choose to obey him because we love the Lord. Those who love him will obey him. And you can't love the Lord until you start encountering and knowing him, amen, in his person, who he really is, how good God is. And, you know, a lot of folks, they don't realize that God really is good. That's just not a cute little song you sing in Sunday school, right? But God really is good. And God really wants to do good for you. Did you know that? God actually wants to bless his children. And just like we want to bless our children. But before we can receive the blessing of the Lord, we have to be in position to receive the blessing of the Lord. That means we have to humble ourselves, get over ourselves, get ourselves out of the picture. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due season. Amen? God will lift you up. Hallelujah. So we're not lifting ourselves up. We're lifting Jesus up. Hallelujah. And if you exalt the Lord, hallelujah, he'll lift you up. You bless him, you'll be blessed. You get what you put into it, you know. You reap what you sow. Amen. You need joy in your life, start sowing joy. You need love, friendships, start being friendly, being lovely. Amen. Loving to others. But you sow and you reap. And I don't like reaping the weeds. You know, I've had a lot of weeds, and God's been very busy yanking them up out of me. You know, the things that I'd sown even years ago, you know, over a period of time, and the things that we had aligned ourselves with, and words that we spoke over ourselves and even over others. How many know that death and life is in the power of the tongue? And those who love it will eat its fruit. And so we want to align our conversation with what is good and what is in agreement with the Father's heart. God's heart is redemptive in nature. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. So, you know, we're living in a really good time. God decided that you would be here for such a time as this, that you'd be born at a certain time in history, and that you'd be, you know, involved in what's happening right now. And I trust that you understand that God's higher purpose, amen, is what we really need to be focusing on here. Because God has allotted us a certain window of opportunity, of time. And so we want to bear fruit and make the most of it. We don't want to waste the time that God gives us. Amen. So, this is the day. Today is the day. This is the day. The name of the message today is this is the day. This is the day. Now, we say that often, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, right? And be glad in it. But the good news, guys, gospel means good news, is that you and I no longer have to be bound by sin. You and I no longer have to be bound by Satan. Because Jesus Christ has overcome on our behalf. He's broken the power of sin. And he's crushed Satan's ability also. So he can no longer take liberty over a child of God, one who is born of God's Spirit, a man who's in Christ, the devil no longer has authority over you. So we are not to be intimidated by any way, by our adversary, right? By evil spirits. Jesus has conquered, amen, all of these things. So we go in his name and we place ourselves under his authority. And as we do that, we have authority over unclean spirits. And God wants us to be about his business, doing what Jesus began to do when he was here. He wants us to partner with him in this mission. He wants captives to be set free. He wants to open the prison doors to those who are bound up and release them. Amen. He wants to heal. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to save. His heart is to save. Amen. To heal, to restore broken hearts, broken lives, broken marriages, everything. God is in the business of restoring. You know, God doesn't just patch us up, but he makes all things new. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we had a reset? There's a lot of talk about reset these days, right? How about having a divine reset, amen, where God transforms you into a new creation? And hallelujah. I was on the highway to hell and God interrupted that train. Hallelujah. And in a good way, he derailed that train. Hallelujah. I had a crash, you know, before I would start to look to him for help. How many here came to the Lord in a time of need? Well, how many didn't? Okay, so some of you just, I don't know. How many of us here came to the Lord in a time of need or desperation? Yeah. First time you cried out to the Lord, amen. God, help me, get me out of this. If you get me out of this, God, I'll serve you. Yeah, foxhole conversion, right? Yeah. They say there's no atheists in the foxhole. But we don't have to be bound any longer. God's freedom is available today, now. Guys, God's freedom is available now. The power of God is available to us now to break the yoke of the oppressor of Satan, amen, to liberate captives. Hallelujah. The power of the enemy was broken at the cross. The cross was a victory. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Do you receive that today? Yes. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All of us are rule breakers. All of us have broke the law of God. Amen. But Jesus Christ has fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. Hallelujah. If we will repent and turn to him, then all the transgressions, amen, all the iniquities can be blotted out. So I say, Lord, blot out my transgressions. Purge my iniquities. Sins of omission and commission. Things that I have done willingly and things that I should have done and didn't do. And God is faithful to just to forgive us. It says that he has disarmed, verse 15, what? Principalities and powers. This is past tense. He has what? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And the word principality means arche. It speaks of a high-ranking spiritual ruler or a prince. There is a chain of command in the spiritual realm. And so there are these ruling princes over territories in the earth. And remember, Daniel had a run-in with one. Remember, the prayer was delayed for 21 days. As the prince of Persia, right, was resisting. But God dispatched Michael, right, to deal with him. There was warrior angel, amen. How many know there is more with us than against us? Yeah. Hallelujah. And God is with us, by the way. So we don't need to fear these things. But God has already spoiled these principalities and powers. And powers means exousia. It's the same word we get in John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia, the authority to become the sons of God. So it speaks of superhuman authorities that influence or control. Now, in a good sense, God has given us the ability to influence in the earth, okay? But the enemy also wants to influence and control others. So he works through people who are willing to yield to him and allow him to use them as a vessel to bring bondage to others. It's that thing that we're born with. It's called the sin nature. A man wants to be his own God, and he wants to rule over others, and he wants to oppress others. And our natural man is bent on evil. Our natural man doesn't care about the things of God, doesn't want to submit to the things of God. Our natural man is a narcissist. Naturally, we are very selfish people. Say amen, somebody. I'm not believing the New Age movement that says we're all intrinsically good. I don't find that even in me, right? Even in me, yeah. But God is my goodness. He makes me good. He makes me holy. He makes me right. Amen. Because he changes your heart. And when you have a new heart, you'll have new fruit in your life. You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have an expression of God's heart instead of the old nature. Amen. We're seeing the evidence of Christ coming through our lives now. To where we once hate, now we can bless. Now we can forgive. Yeah. We can love. How can you love your enemy? Well, by the love of God. Amen. By the ability that God supplies us, we can do all things through Christ, right? Who strengthens us. So the Lord has disarmed these principalities, these ruling princes, and these powers. He has all authority because remember in Matthew 28, he said, all authority has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. So the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so he delegates to you and I, his church, exousia, authority over unclean spirits and over all the works of the enemy. All right. And he said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, what the enemy wants to do is convince us that he's somehow bigger than God or that we have to fear him. And once we start fearing our adversary, we're actually putting our faith in him, his ability, rather than God's ability to protect. Are you hearing me, somebody? So the enemy wants to magnify evil so that it appears bigger than it really is, because what he can use now as his weapons are deception, as lies. He tells people lies, and if we believe the lie, then we'll submit to that lie, and he'll control us. He'll usurp that exousia that God gives us and use it against us. God gives his people authority in his name to spoil, right? The works of the enemy, to destroy the works of the enemy. What we are called to do is enforce, once again, what Christ has already accomplished. The devil does not want you to know who you are in Christ. He wants you to doubt who you are in Christ. And so he wants to make himself look bigger than he is. Because the only weapon really he has against a saint is deception and lies. And if we're going to willingly submit to that lie and believe that lie, then we give him authorization in our lives. Because he cannot touch us unless we give him permission. Or unless the Father, for whatever reason, may allow for a season the enemy to have permission like he did in Job's case. So the enemy's looking for permission. So he's trying to get you and I to agree with what he's doing and start believing what he's saying, thus shifting our faith away from the Lord to him. Amen. Guys, we should be able to go home at night, turn the lights off to pitch black, and sleep in peace. Amen. We should not be afraid of things that go bump in the night. Amen. Because God is with us. God is for us. God has set his angels about us. Amen. To keep us. So the enemy knows that he can't touch us unless we allow him to do so by agreeing with what he's saying, believing a lie. You can't. You won't. You'll never. But God says, I can and I will by the power of God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, I can do everything God has told me I can do. How many know you can live a holy life? Why? The power of sin has been broken in your life. You can live a clean life. It's who you decide to yield yourself to, who you decide to submit yourself to. Amen? So as a believer, we've been set free by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ to live a life, amen, that is pure. And a pure vessel is a vessel that can be filled with the holy oil of God. The power of God can work mightily through a pure vessel. So we want to be in a position where we can be a minister for the Lord. So we're not presenting ourselves to people, but we're presenting Christ. You see, the Lord can't work with us if we're proud, if we're prideful, if we're trying to get attention to ourselves rather than Christ. Now remember, after our Lord's resurrection, he appeared to his disciples in Matthew 28. This is it. And he said, what all authority, there it is, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So again, guys, what did the Lord tell his disciples? Teach them to observe everything I taught you. Well, those were the apostles, the 12 apostles. No, he said to the apostles, right? The disciples, the followers of Jesus, now go and teach others to do likewise. We're supposed to be reproducing. When you receive, you have something to give. Amen? You don't just take seed in the barn to let it sit there. If you're receiving seed, amen, it's for a purpose. Hallelujah. You know, seed only lasts so long in the barn. You got to get it out into the soil, amen? You got to look for a place to plant, amen, and to water, hallelujah. And we know the Lord is the one who brings the increase. So now, Jesus has been exalted. He's been given the name above all names, and he is also the head of his church, his people. We are the church, amen? It's not a ecclesiastical system. As some people turn a system into the church, the entity is you and I, amen? We are the vessel, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 1:21, Jesus is far above what? All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he, the Father, has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So we have a great high priest in the heavens, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives to make intercession for us. He prays for us. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a defense attorney, amen, coming to the Father by way of Jesus, amen, calling on the Lord, apologizing for our failures, our sin. Amen. He's faithful and just to forgive us. You don't have to live in regret. Isn't that good? You don't have to live in shame anymore. Hallelujah. By his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered all evil powers. He's made a public spectacle of them, and he's triumphed over them. And so as followers of Jesus, guys, we don't need to be afraid of the devil. We don't need to be afraid of the boogeyman. I know some people, they like to fill their mind full of fear. And they watch a lot of scary movies and, you know, and things like this. But guys, I don't think that's healthy for a believer. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do, is he wants you to believe that somehow he's bigger than God. I remember years ago, of course, you know, I've always been a perfect child. Now we're going to have an altar call, but don't look so sanctified, but some of you watched The Exorcist back in the days. And that first came out, everybody was talking about that head spinning around on the body and all that, you know. You know, that movie messed a lot of people up. I mean, people got demon-possessed over that. Why? Because the enemy uses fear as a doorway to get in. That's right. You bring a spirit of fear. You start submitting to that, and he'll start taking over. You give him an inch, he takes a mile. But I remember how the priest would come in, you know, to do an exorcism, and somehow he was the one that got his butt handed to him. I'm paraphrasing. But guys, listen, a true child of God who has the Spirit of God in them has exousia, has authority over unclean spirits. Now, you may have to fight that devil for a bit. You may need to stand in there. You may need to fast and pray in some cases. Amen. But that devil has to obey you because you're going in his name representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And not yourself. So we go in the authorization that he's given us and we can set the captives free. Amen. And so anybody that would try to exorcise a demon out of somebody who does not have the Spirit of God or who is not in right standing could get their butts handed to them. Like the seven sons of Sceva, right? But in Luke 4 and verse 14, this is when Jesus returned, it says, from the wilderness. Remember, he had been out and been tempted. In the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, verse 16, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus went to church. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Here it is, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to do what? Heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. And he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, what? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Whoa, whoa. What Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 61, the fulfillment was Jesus Christ. Amen. He came on the scene. He says, I'm here. The kingdom of heaven is among you because the king was there. Hallelujah. And that was his reason to come, amen, to bring liberty, to set captives free. Yes, that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached, that people would understand that God is inviting us into a fellowship with him. May all be made possible by the sacrifice of our Lord. And today, guys, is the day of salvation. We're living in today. We're living in the day of God's freedom. We're living in the time of God's justice. Amen. We're living in the time of God's deliverance. We're living in the time of God's healing power. Hallelujah. Because Jesus ascended back to the Father. Amen. And he sent the promised Holy Spirit upon the church. And on the day of Pentecost, remember Acts chapter 2, they were all assembled in one place, remember? And there was a baptism from heaven, hallelujah, tongues of fire appeared on their heads. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in languages they never learned. Something happened, amen? They were empowered by the Spirit of God. And Jesus told his disciples, don't go until you are first endued with power from on high, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem, okay? And that's exactly what they did. How many know that you and I, in order to receive from God, need to obey God's instruction? We need to be where God tells us to be, because Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. Following the Lord, amen. God's provision is where he tells you to be. God will provide where he leads you. Like the old saying, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not keep you. It's very true. So that day, Jesus said, today, this is fulfilled. He came to liberate and restore ruined lives. Today, guys, This is our day for freedom. It's our day to be free from oppression, from misery, from brokenness, from guilt, from shame, from all the effects, even of the stupid things we've all done. Come on, let's all admit it. Amen. We've all done some things that we regret in life. And if you don't think so, we're going to have an altar call for your self-righteousness. Amen. But we've all done stuff that we've regretted. Jesus paid for all of that in full by his precious blood, that we no longer have to live in the regret of all the stupid things we've done and all the mistakes we've made. God took care of that at the cross. Hallelujah. All those things have been taken out of the way and they've been nailed to the cross. So you and I can walk in perfect freedom today. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can walk now in a new life, yoked together with the Lord, partnering with him in his mission in the earth, being an expression of his heart in the earth. Hallelujah. If you're willing to obey the voice of the Lord and repent, you can be forgiven. Psalms 95 and 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Say today, if you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Guys, the world right now is in a day of trial. We're in a day of trial right now. And God's saying, if you can hear my voice, if you can still hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Many did not enter into the promise of God, but they fell in the wilderness due to unbelief. They did not believe God. They did not obey God. And therefore, their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. God can be trusted to keep his word because he is faithful. He is true. He is just. So if we can hear his voice, still hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't rebel. And the Hebrew writer of Hebrews quoted this psalm also in Hebrews 4:7. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Who's he talking to? He's talking to this generation. He's talking to you and to me today. If you hear his voice, do not deny the one who's speaking to you. Hebrews 12, verse 25. But be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. In order for you and I to be free from oppression, from misery, from guilt, from shame, from all manner of bondage, demonic bondage, we must listen to the voice of God. We must obey the instruction of the Lord. We must be listening to what God is saying. God gives us practical instructions. Did you know that? Sometimes people are in torment because they have refused to forgive somebody in their life. And because of that, they can't go a foot further because they're bound up by something that is unresolved. God speaks to us by his Spirit and he says, forgive. Because if we don't forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And sometimes people are being tormented by demons because they have refused to obey God and let people go who have trespassed against them. Now think about this. Every one of us is guilty of trespassing against somebody. And most importantly, you guys, you and I are guilty of trespassing against the Lord, sinning against God, grieving his heart. It was because of our choices, our sin, that Jesus suffered and died on that cross. Therefore, we should no longer yield ourselves to the sin nature, But we must crucify it. We must die to our old nature. And we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. We must put on the full armor of God. We must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome, hallelujah, this sin-sick world. So we can overcome our flesh, amen, and overcome that adversary, because Jesus Christ has already broken the power of sin. He's already broken the power of Satan, and He's given us the authorization to enforce what He's already done by faith in what He has promised. Hallelujah. By the faith of the Lord, amen, we overcome this world. How do we harden our hearts? Well, by not listening. God speaks. God pleads. In the days of Noah, His Spirit strived with mankind. For 120 years, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. People continued to refuse to listen to the voice of God. And the Lord said, My Spirit will not always strive with man. And the day came when God said, time is up. Guys, that time is coming again when God says, time is up. God has given people, even the people that you wouldn't expect or even believe could be redeemed, God has given them an opportunity to be saved. We should be praying for these people, amen? These crazy people, especially in our government. Amen. God got a hold of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a supreme narcissist. He loved himself so much he had an idol erected in his honor. God said, okay, you're going to go eat grass for a while, Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to have a little attitude adjustment here. And when he returned, he had a change of heart, didn't he? He says, I know who the great God is now. It ain't me. Hallelujah. So God can do it, guys. Pray for these people, amen, that God will get a hold of them. God's desire is to bless us and share His kingdom with us. That's good. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless you. But if we refuse to listen to Him, there can be no forgiveness. There can be no healing. There's no blessing. And certainly there's no rest for our souls. I don't know about you, but if I don't get things straight with the Lord, I'm miserable. If I got something that's outstanding that I haven't dealt with, I had a falling out maybe with somebody and I didn't reconcile or try to do the right thing, you know. That thing will eat away at you, don't it? Won't it? Yeah, until you say God's not going to let you go until you do something about it, right? That's our Father's discipline. That's because He loves us. But in America, guys, there has been a hardening of heart. I mean, we've been hardened for a long time in this nation. You know, people, they just mock the gospel. They mock the preacher. They mock God, you know. But I believe that God is in the process of changing that. I believe God's in the process of changing the hardened heart condition of America. God knows how to humble a nation, humble a people. Come on. To where we realize that He's God and we're not, and that we need Him. So thank God that He's allowing us, amen, even to experience what we've had so far. Because God at any time can intervene and stop it, but He's not for a reason. Because God's been speaking to us, hello, and we're not listening. You know how I say it. Then He begins to speak, what, a little louder. And we're still not listening. Well, I'm going to have to get a little louder then. Until finally say, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, we're ready now. You're right. You're always right, Lord. And we know God is always right. Well, if I were God, well, you're not. Fortunately, you're not. You know, the day of God's vengeance, we see it. It is approaching. God will be glorified in the earth. God is going to bring justice. Hallelujah. God is not going to tolerate the foolishness forever. Amen? He's going to intervene. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus will return. Amen? For His bride, His people. And the day is coming when He shall return and He will establish His reign over all the earth. There will be true justice. Amen? And there will be liberty for all. Hallelujah. God, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the work You're doing in our hearts and our lives and bringing us to a place, Lord, where we are realizing more and more how much we need You. How much we need Your help, Lord, because in our weakness, Your strength is made perfect. In our inability, we realize that you become our ability. And Lord, we don't want to present ourselves, we want to present you. So Lord, thank you for helping us get ourselves out of the picture here. And Lord, that ministry is not all about us, amen? It's about you and what you want and others. So teach us how to love, teach us how to serve, teach us how to give. Hallelujah, Lord God, we're not in this for us, we're in this for you. And because we say thank you for all that you've done for us, thank you for the cross, it's our reasonable service now to do what? To present our bodies back to you as a living sacrifice. So God says, I want you today to receive the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, receive power, and God wants us to step out in faith and exercise the authority that he has given us in Jesus' name to destroy the works of the devil first in our own lives. He says, I've given you charge over you and I've given you exousia to take authority over yourself so you can control yourself and do what's well-pleasing in my sight and represent me correctly in the presence of others. Come on. Because you behave yourself. Because God's given you charge of you. And he's given you the power to do that. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. God wants us to be about his business. Yes. So he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And the Lord is head over the church. All of us. We receive our instructions from the command center, amen? From our commander in chief. He speaks through his Spirit. We receive a word from God. We grab a hold of it, get a hold of it, amen? And by faith, we apply the word of God in our situation. We need to start doing the word, amen? Not just hearing it. God says, I've given you complete freedom from addiction. It's yours. The power of the addiction has already been broken. It's broken now in Jesus' name. I just know it. Stop it. The power of sin has been broken in Jesus' name. The power of the devil has been broken in Jesus' name. He has spoiled principalities and powers. He has all exousia, all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore in my name. Teach the nations. Make disciples. Baptize them. Amen. We've received. Let's give. Hallelujah. Let's be a conduit through whom God will work. Acts 3 and verse 18, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many here want times of refreshing to come from the presence of the Lord? So what do we need to do? We need to make sure we get our hearts right with God. Amen. We need to repent and do what he tells us to do. Get into agreement with him. Get into position because the Lord wants to bless you and make you a blessing because he's a good father and he gives good gifts unto his children. But we've got to get into position. We've got to put away this foolishness. Amen. We've got to repent of our selfish ways and get into agreement with what God wants. Start being a yes person to the Lord. Amen. Quit resisting his Spirit. Don't be unbelieving like the children of Israel in the wilderness. See that you don't refuse him who speaks from heaven today. Amen. There's healing. There's deliverance available to you today in Christ. Now is the acceptable time, guys. God gave me this. He said, now. That was it. Sometimes I just get a word, you know. It's like he's saying, now is the time. Today. Now. It's broken now. If you're here today and you're bound up by anything, you want freedom today. You really want to get that monkey off your back. Maybe you're dealing with addictions, whatever it is. Come and agree. Come and believe that now is your freedom. If you're not saved, if you're not right with God, now is the time to get it right. While you still have opportunity, God is still striving with us. God is still convicting us by His Spirit. See that you don't refuse Him. If you need healing today, maybe you need healing in your body. Now is the time to receive. Today is the day of salvation, healing, and deliverance. Just come on down if you need prayer today. Hallelujah. Just come on down. Today, now, I'm going to receive it now. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, be healed. Freedom now. Freedom now. Freedom now.